Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is up, KOP Nation? It is Sunday night. It's April 27th, 2025, and we're back. We're back after a one-week break. Took a break because of Mania, got Easter going on, all that good stuff. But once again, it's only two of the three of us here. It's not a full man, three-man crew. It's just Tanner and Shep.
Tanner and Shep. Paul was walking in his front yard this morning. He stepped in a pothole and tore his uterus. So he's not with us tonight.
Oh, yes. You know what happened in the pro wrestling world on this day 25 years ago, Shep?
Oh, 25 years ago this day. Yesterday was the 26 years of Triple H and Cactus Jack. 25 years. Has to be obvious. Would have been Shawn and Taker at Mania? I don't know.
No, it was one of the final nails in the coffin of WCW as David Arquette became the World Heavyweight Champion. And he would be a better representative of the KOP Predictions champion than Paul, because Paul let us down. Paul had one job. All he had to do was beat JPJ, the WrestleMania 41's predictions, and our title stayed with us. But he couldn't do it. So
it didn't work.
We don't have our title.
Nope.
JPJ, between two beards, have the KOP Predictions championship.
And I feel like Pluggo is more excited about it than JPJ is.
And so is Drew firmly WWE/AW of JPJ's other show, because they're like, we want this title. We want the Freebird rule. It's like, man.
And you know what? If you guys read my tagline, the last thing Paul said to us was, don't worry, guys. I'm good at WWE picks.
He did.
I go back and I still blame Tony Khan, because if he would end the reign of terror of a world title run that John Moxley's on right now, I would be in. I still would have the belt.
You would?
I would still have the belt.
You would?
It wouldn't have gone to a tiebreaker WrestleMania. I would still have the belt.
And now we got to try to get it back at Double or Nothing. And rumor on the street has it, Shep, that you and I are going to be teaming up against Pluggo and JBJ in a tag team style Double or Nothing predictions.
You know what? I hope it's a tornado tag, brother.
Because Paul felt so bad he took himself out of the
prediction. He should have. He's not even, you know what? He's not even allowed to ring the bell at this match. He can't even bring us some water.
Yeah, no water. No water boy. No Bobby water Boucher boy. In the house. Yeah. Steven Bobby Chambers, what's going on?
Hi, Steven. Cheers, brother.
Brandon, what's going on? Steffi, what's going on? Steven, who needs Paul, that jabroni?
He's not wrong.
And Steffi says, hey, Shep, I'm guessing there's a wrestling or a racing comic coming.
Yes, I'm guessing she watched Talladega today, and we'll see what her comments are on the old Dega. Dega was didn't disappoint, but it wasn't too exciting, but didn't disappoint today.
Was there the big one at Dega today?
Not really. No.
No.
No, he had two cautions. That's it. So
Stephen Chambers said, yep, promoting movie Ready to Rumble when Arquette won the title 25 years ago. Yep.
Did you ever watch that movie?
Oh, I've watched it numerous times.
It's kind of a shit movie, but it's not bad because it's professional wrestling.
So yeah, exactly. Like that, right? It's shit, but it's entertaining at the same time. The story's terrible. Acting's pretty bad, but it's got some wrestlers in it. So.
Hey, the best line is, wakey, wakey, hands off snakey.
Oh, you're not wrong.
One of the few lines I remember from the movie.
Brandon, AEW is cooking right now. I agree with you. Collision and Dynamite been great. Yeah, I think AEW's got some good stuff going on.
I think we've had two good Dynamites since or three good Dynamites, right? Mm-hmm. Since our last pay-per-view. So, I think they actually have some storytelling going on, some exciting stories, some good performers, and they're running with it. We're due for a couple comebacks. Eddie Kingston being one of them.
Yep.
I see he's training with, help me pronounce this name, Cesar?
Cesar Menotti. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Gunzoon type.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But he made a post, I think Thursday or Friday, is like, I cannot wait for this guy to get back in the ring. And he showed a bunch of pictures of Kingston training. And me, you know me, I'm a huge Eddie fan. So I'm looking for him to get back. And honestly, the only way he fits right now is he goes after Moxley and tells Moxley how big of a piece of shit he is right now. They're best friends, but you're being a piece of shit and ruining the company. So I'm taking your belt.
You know where I bring him back in the build for Blood and Guts. After Double or Nothing. That's where I bring it back. I think we've saw some seeds planted this last Wednesday for Double or Nothing's Anarchy in the Arena. And we'll talk about that momentarily. But I think we saw some seeds planted as to what the potential teams could be in that. Steffi says Majin's out shopping. Good for him.
Hey, everybody's got to stuck up on that maple syrup, man. We don't want to get tariffed.
I was just letting you go. I knew maple syrup comment was coming. So, Brandon James, Camille's on her way back. Yeah. We haven't seen her in a long time.
Camille versus Megan Bang, I think, would be a banger of a match.
If we get Megan Bang back on television, I'm worried Tony's doing with her what he's done with a lot of female talents. Heats them up off TV for a while.
I don't know. I think she's something special.
I do too, man. Before we get into the nitty gritty of AEW, got two things I'll talk about: my experience and Paul's experience Friday at the Squared Circle Expo 5 down in Indianapolis. But also, right off the bat, Shep, I want to get your thoughts overall. We'll try not to go down the rabbit hole too long on WrestleMania 41.
Absolutely disappointing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that it didn't have its good moments or great matches. But I thought the finish, and not just because I'm a Cody fan, right? I thought the finish was lackluster, bland, and... and we've listened to Dave LaGreca for a week, and he is spot on. And fuck The Rock. He built this up, and then he completely shat on it by not showing up, by sending Travis Scott. Travis Scott there's more of a place in WWE with my golden retriever than a fucking place with Travis Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It took the air out of the building, man.
And I thought the ending was awful. It was a letdown. I thought Cody carried the match. I didn't think John looked good in the match physically. Not physically. He looks good physically, but like performance wise, I didn't think he looked good. I think Cody carried it. I thought it was slow paced.
It was definitely slow paced. I have the counter argument with John. I thought John looked good because he changed up his style to be slow and boring in his heel persona.
I think he always is, though. I mean, John's got five wrestling moves.
But when's the last time we saw him hit like eight double axe handles and eight takedowns?
Okay, 5 years ago.
He's trying to ruin wrestling.
Yeah. I think he has less wrestling moves than Hulk Hogan did.
Oh, boy. That's saying something, brother.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, like, the buildup was good. I mean, freaking Jelly Roll singing God Bless America was awesome.
You want to hear my hot take about that?
Okay.
I think God Bless America should be our national anthem. I like it better than our national anthem.
You like the lyrics better.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard one to argue.
Yeah, it's kind of a hot take. I know. I've said that before. People are like, you're crazy. I'm like, I enjoy it more.
Yeah. Okay. I can't argue that. So you can roll with that.
All right.
You threw me off completely there. But
that's what I do, man. That's what I do.
Back to WrestleMania. Completely love that Jey Uso went over. I love the way he went over. They put some thought into that and made him beat Gunther with his own move. Love that. Congrats.
I don't like Gunther tapping, though. Tapping quick, I should say. But
you know what, though? He was in the middle of the ring. He could have fought it for another 30 seconds or whatever. But, you know, either way. Now I love the following night on Raw when Gunther attacked Cole and McAfee. I think that was great storytelling and opens up a lot of avenues for him in the future. So did love that part of it.
WrestleMania, I'm
done with it. Like it's,
yeah, it's over.
It's over. It was in Vegas. Did you see the number of how many shows from Wednesday to the following Tuesday, so 6 days, how many shows were put on in Vegas?
I didn't see the total number. I know it's a ton.
It was, I want to say 111.
Jesus.
Yeah, and that includes both nights of WrestleMania, the Raw, the SmackDown, the NXT. Okay. TNA, I think, ran two shows. GCW ran six.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. There's
Brody Jr. got a win.
Yeah. Okay, that's 12 shows. Where in the hell did the other ones come from?
You know, I'm glad Majin brought this up. Is it just me or has Mania not felt like, you know, Mania in at least a decade or so? I don't know about a decade, but I did text you guys and definitely night one, I'm like, this doesn't feel like Mania. Night two did a little more. But night one didn't. I mean, I love the triple threat, Rollins, Reigns, Punk. I thought that was the match of the night for night one, even though it was predictable that Rollins and Punk were gonna team up. But I still thought it was really good execution how they did it. And then night two, I thought the women stole the show with the triple threat at the beginning. Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley. I usually don't like triple threats, but both triple threats at the weekend were the matches of the weekend. But yeah, Maj, I agree. Something, I don't know if it was Vegas or what, something fell off this year.
Vegas is obviously an awesome venue, but I don't know, maybe it was the crowd.
Well, I read a report. They're thinking about having Mania in Vegas again within the next 3 to 5 years.
Probably because look how many people traveled to Vegas and spent money.
Right.
So Vegas comes to the WWE and says, all right, you know, how much is it going to cost to get you guys back here? Did you see, I think it was Thursday, when the WWE Superstore opened and somebody had tweeted a picture of the line? The line was over a half a mile long inside the convention center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, Mike Majin says Vegas isn't a wrestling city. I'm glad Tony finally realized that with Double or Nothing coming up 4 weeks from today and moved it to Phoenix this year. Yeah. Vegas is a big attraction city, but We'll see. I don't know. If I were them, I wouldn't run it there again 3 to 5 years. I'd let it breathe a little more than that. But I'm not in charge.
Yeah. Again, money talks, bullshit walks.
Even the Pod Meets World people travel to go to Mania. Yep. Yep.
I saw that.
Yep. And Topanga has her own figure now through Major.
She painted her face like Danhausen.
And that's the figure as of her and Danhausen paint.
And yep. I think the other two people in her podcast are like, what the hell? Like,
yes. There's a lot of explanation she had to do for them to understand.
So obviously but she's a wrestling fan. But it was neat
to hear them talk about when they did the episode with Vader back in the day, talking about how Vader was and stuff. That was pretty cool to hear them talk about.
Hey, you're a red-blooded human being. Did you have a crush on Topanga back in the day?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. All right. Yes. I don't know anybody who didn't. Any male who didn't.
Paul didn't. I'm sure he didn't.
No more Paul talk. I'm so disappointed in Paul losing our title. No, actually, I do have to bring up Paul here in a minute. Steven said, rumors are Saudi also wants a Mania. Well, they're getting Rumble next year, which I'm not happy about. So, it's money. You're right, Steven. It's all about money. It's all about money. Mod said it was Sean's first ever show, first Mania as a whole. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And Pedro V says Topanga loves Danhausen and Sabrina Carpenter loves the Young Bucks. Yeah. That's right. I remember her having a picture with a Bucks shirt. That's right. So,
and now talking about the podcast coming out of Mania, Natalya joining Busted Open
and Cardona. They keep adding, man. Their lineup's growing. But I'll tell you who's good is Bishop.
Yes.
Formerly known as Barry Corbin. He has really good takes. He's really knowledgeable.
It's funny, like on Friday mornings, I listen to it and, you know, Bully's doing it and he starts calling him Uncle Bishop. It's great.
Yeah, Bishop's been good. He's been a good addition.
Yeah, he's been a real good. And he doesn't hold back either. He tells you how he feels. So.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. My wife has a coworker whose family is friends with him. So maybe I should try to pull some strings, see if we can get an interview with him.
Get him on the pod.
Yeah.
I know he loves to grill steak and drink bourbon. So him and I are on the same page so far.
Well, and he spent some time in Indiana as a member of the Colts for a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. He talks about, I remember when him and McAfee first started interviewing, and McAfee's like, look, you and I, we've been in the shower together, so we can have an interview here.
Yep.
So.
Imogen says he has a hunch with Bishop.
What does that mean?
I'm waiting for the next comment for him to explain himself. So,
okay.
Lastly, before we dive into AEW, like I said a few minutes ago, Paul and I traveled down the road to Indianapolis on Friday. We went to the Squared Circle Expo, the fifth edition that they've done in Indianapolis.
What hotel was that at?
Wyndham West. And I know
fucking awful hotel. Yeah. Fuck that place.
I thought it was pretty nice.
The fucking ceiling's caving in on the freaking. Never mind. Sorry. I'm over
here. Maybe they've redone it since you've been there last.
Well, they should, as much as they charge that fucking.
I thought it was pretty nice, but with all that said,
go for it.
It was Friday and yesterday. We went to Friday. I think Saturday's typically the one that's more attended, but it was pretty busy Friday. We got down there right before it started at 4:00. And the first thing I wanted to do was I need to give some context here. Before it started, I had prepaid for a professional photo op with Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. There was other ones you could pay for. And then of course you got signings and meet and greets you can do, and you can pay for those. You pay for those when you get to the table. Everybody's got a price for an autograph, a price for a photo, and a price for a combo. That's usually how it works. But I wanted to make sure, you know, this was the first time I've went to this. Paul went a couple years ago with his son, Logan. So thank God Paul was with me, because I'm like, I've never been to a convention. I don't know how these things work. So I kind of panicked and got the prepaid photo ops. Glad I did in the long run, to make sure I got a picture with Ospreay, a picture with Swerve. So Ospreay's was at 6:00. Swerve's was at 7:55. So right when the doors open, I'm like, okay, I know Ospreay signed him before his photo ops. I want to make sure I can get his autograph. So we get in Ospreay's line. We were three hallways down when we got in line. to the point where we finally got to the last hallway about 5:50. I'm like, Paul, I got to go get in line for the photo ops. Would you mind staying here in line so I don't lose my spot? He's like, yeah, I can do that. I'm like, okay, cool. So I went, get in line for the photo ops, which was two or three hallways down, which I'm thinking, wait. Photo ops, they were supposed to be limited. Like, how many of these did they sell? But that line went fast because you literally go in, they snap two photos real quick, and you're out. I mean, Will was as nice can be. He called everybody G, asked you how you're doing. I told him to go win the Owen. He said, gonna try my best, appreciate the support, and I'm gonna pop up my photo here of Mr. Will Ospreay and myself. Hopefully it'll show here.
He's got his hair slicked back.
There it is. So nice as nice could be to everybody. There was some ladies in front of me that were really freaking out about meeting him, which was pretty funny. So I got the photo ops, went back. Paul had my spot in line. So got back in line. Then Ospreay came back signing after his photo ops were done. Was able to get his signature as well. But in the meantime, when I was waiting for him to come back to sign, I popped over to where Swerve was. I'm like, let me go see if I could get Swerve's autograph while I'm waiting. Swerve only had five people in line at the time.
Wow.
But I will say Swerve was there Friday and Saturday. Ospreay was Friday only. And supposedly Ospreay doesn't make public appearances like that very often. So he was kind of the main attraction on Friday of all the talent there. So I went and got Swerve's autograph, got back in line, got Ospreay's autograph, then headed to my photo ops with Swerve. And once again, nice as nice could be. He had a good line, just like Ospreay. So both really good dudes.
He makes you look tall.
I was kind of surprised that both of them didn't tower over me, to be honest. Both good dudes. I told Swerve to go get his title back. He said, appreciate the support. Gonna do my best, pretty much. So both good dudes, had a great time. And also I gotta post one more. This was not a pro photo ops. This is just one I paid to get a picture taken with him. Paul was the photographer. Got to meet Chris Van Vliet of Insight. Chris Van Vliet. Nice guy. Got to have an actual conversation with Chris for probably 5 minutes or so. He didn't really have anybody else in line at the time. So, but really, really fun event. If you live in the Midwest, it's branded as the Midwest's biggest pro wrestling convention. I mean, tons of current talent, AEW talent, indie talent, and tons of legends. That was cool. Just walking around, seeing legends from afar. Tons of vendors there with memorabilia, merchandise, and just a really good time.
Now, they put on a show every night too, don't they?
They did. They had, I think it was, I don't remember what promotion put it on Friday night. But yeah, they had a show at 9, but that was extra. You had to pay extra to get tickets for that. So, but really good time, Shep. Maybe you can go next year. I plan on going again next year. It was fun.
Is it always Mania weekend?
Well, it was usually Mania weekend, but because of Easter this year being on Mania, they postponed. Oh, no, it's usually on Easter weekend. Excuse me.
Okay.
But because Mania ran into Easter, they postponed it this year. Moved it back a week.
Moved it back a week. All right.
Yeah. So, let's see here. I got some comments to catch up on. Majin says Bishop and MJF are friends. I don't know if Holiday will come in. So when he does do the turn on Bob and Shelton, does he bring Hammerstone and Bishop in as his heavies?
I don't know about Hammerstone. He's an odd character. I've been watching a little bit of him. MLW. He's done an appearance in TNA. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about him. I don't know. Doesn't do it for me. But Bishop, on the other hand, I've really liked his appearances on the indie so far.
Steven asks how much I spent for autographs and photo ops. I honestly don't remember what I spent for the photo ops because I prepaid for them quite a bit ahead of time. But I can tell you the autographs, Swerve, since I got it on a figure, Swerve was $60. A regular autograph on an 8x10 was $50, in a picture was 50, and then I think a combo for the autograph and picture at his table was 100. So I just did the autograph, and Ospreay was the most expensive person there. He was 70 for an autograph, 70 for a picture, and 120 for the combo, I think. Oh, wow. So I just did the autograph since I had already paid for the photo ops. The main attraction on Saturday was Bret Hart. He was Saturday only. Kurt Angle was Saturday only. There were some talents that at the last minute had to back out. I know Eric Bischoff had a conflict and he backed out on Thursday, which boo-hoo.
Boo.
I'll tell you one that did not make a good name for himself was Zilla Fatu.
Yeah, I read it. Supposed to be that
Friday and Saturday, and he pretty much no showed. Yeah.
No call, no show.
There were some other talents. I think Billy Starks was one that had to pull out. There were some others, but they do a pretty good job there of trying to replace people. Orange Cassidy had to pull out because of his torn pec, his injury, so they replaced him with Mariah May this past week. So. Yeah, but I was thinking about Shipp just walking around all the different legends. I think you would have loved seeing, like, the Four Horsemen, JR and King, Ron Simmons, JBL.
Yeah, that would have been my jam. Yeah. And I watched Instagram reel. It was Nick Nemeth, Cardona, Myers, Hornswoggle, and somebody else. We're downtown Indianapolis at St. Elmo's, and it's just like, you know, a place I like to go sit at the bar and have a cocktail. Mm-hmm. I could imagine mm-hmm. those guys walk in, and I'm the only guy at the bar that would probably recognize them at that establishment. You know, yep. Like, holy shit, look at these guys. Everybody else been like, who the hell are you talking about? But
oh, yeah, the major guys, the Hornswoggle, Myers, and Cardona all at a table. When I was waiting to get my photo ops, because it's nice, they give you one digitally and then they print off a nice 8x10 for you. They put it out on a table, and I was waiting to pick my up at the table. And I was standing next to two guys, and Mr. Anderson or Mr. Kennedy accidentally ran into one of the guys because he was texting on his phone, wasn't paying attention, just straight ran into the guy. So we were all laughing. I look at him, oh my God, that's Mr. Anderson. Like, I barely recognized him. He looks so different than he used to. Yeah. But it was cool just seeing, you know, a lot of people I grew up watching, and you know, like Rikishi, couldn't believe how much weight like Rikishi's lost.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, talking about that, I'm going next year. Mark it on the calendars. I'm going.
Yeah, you should. It's fun.
We'll go on Friday.
Make a day of it. It was fun. It was a good time. It was. Yeah.
By then, we'll maybe even have our own KOP booth.
Maybe. There was a couple podcasts there.
You know what? And we will not charge for autographs.
No.
We'll take free beer. We will take free beer.
Paul will charge you to ask him for an autograph.
Paul's not invited.
Or Paul will pay you, I should say. Paul will pay you to ask him for an autograph.
Paul can sit down in the hallway in the chair.
There was two other things I'll hit on real quick. So when we were waiting in the hallway, you know, because tons of people are staying there at this hotel. And we see this guy in a suit. He looks real important walking. And the guy's right behind him. And they're getting into the room. MVP was behind this guy. And basically, I don't know what happened. MVP was switching rooms. But MVP was not in a good mood about something. He was cussing blankety blank blank, ungrateful mother blankety. I don't know if he was mad if people were taking pictures of him when he was walking by or what was going on. MVP just comes off to me as a unhappy dude.
The motherfucker robbed a cruise ship. What do you expect? He robbed a cruise ship.
Yep. Yeah, he just doesn't seem like a very nice guy. So,
and I've stayed in those rooms. The place is a shithole. So maybe he was pissed about his room.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he was mad about, but... And the Hurt Syndicate walked by when I was in line for Ospreay, and Shelton and Bobby are big dudes.
Yeah, how big is dudes. Bob Lashley?
Oh, he's as wide as a freaking house. My God. And JBL's a big sumbitch too. I mean, I knew he was, but until you see it in person. Like,
Well, I mean, you gotta remember Shelton Benjamin actual wrestled Brock Lesnar every day at, in college.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So he's not that small, even though he was kind of billed as a mid cruiserweight kind of character back in the day. Mm-hmm. He still wrestled a heavyweight every day at practice.
And I, when I was waiting for the Swerve photo op, Mick Foley thought it was his turn. He was after Swerve as Dude Love. He thought he was up first. So he's like 10 feet away from me, getting into his Dude Love garb. So that was pretty cool. Just seeing Mick Foley like right there. Oh, that was pretty neat. So yeah, seems like a really, really friendly guy.
I don't think he knows where he's at, but that's okay.
He's going to be in Fort Wayne in June. The Tin Caps on a Friday night are doing a wrestling night, and he's the main attraction that night. I might have to go to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tin Caps are fun time.
Yeah. Yeah. Good park. So, and then lastly, I did say hey to SRS real quick. I was just standing in line waiting for Ospreay. He walks back. He makes eye contact. He's walking by and he makes eye contact with me, head nods. And then I realize who it is. I'm like, SRS. He's like, hey, man, what's going on? He kept walking, but nobody else said anything to him. So he's tall. A lot taller than I thought he was.
Old Sean Ross Sapp.
Yep. Yep. The best in the biz. So, all right. Catching up on some questions here. Comments. Chrono050 just came in. Saw. I think he's talking about our title. No, they ain't. They put on a great show 2 weeks ago, but that was it. AEW. Each of their own, man. I thought AEW was pretty good this week. So
I thought we've had 3 good Dynamites in a row.
Yep. Me too. So I think I mean, like I said in the title, I think they're cooking right now. I think the road to Double or Nothing's going to be fun the next 4 weeks. Stephen Chambers, Shep charges getting a date with Mama Wayne.
That baby. That'll baby.
Mom said heavyweight. Bruh, Brock is a super heavyweight.
True. Okay. True. Back in college, he was a heavyweight. So.
Yep. Yeah, but WrestleCon was in Vegas. Yeah. Yep. You're right. That's probably another reason why Squared Circle didn't want to do Easter weekend. Don't want to compete with WrestleCon. That's the biggest wrestling convention there is. So, and a hockey question here, Modern Tanner. How are your Avs getting their shit ran by the Stars? We're missing 2 very key pieces. What are you talking about? It's tied series after last night. 4-0. The Avalanche have actually dominated the series, but the Stars somehow have 2 wins when only leading for a total combined 3 minutes in 4 games, which is frustrating. So no.
Wait a minute. So you're saying a Canadian doesn't know what the hell's going on about hockey? Shocker.
Well, he's a bigger hockey guy than I am. I'm just saying they're not getting their shit around. It's 2-2 series. And they've dominated the series even though it's tied. So it's all right. It's all right. So all right, let's talk some AEW, shall we? Let's finally get into it.
I guess we can do that.
But I know you weren't a fan of this. I thought it was odd. Master P kicking things off on Dynamite Wednesday.
So when they announced it, I immediately had the Travis Scott PTSD, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I realized when they brought him down and how, you know, whatever college campus they were on, whatever arena.
New Orleans.
He has actually started some type of fund to help these kids through school and I get that part of it.
Well, he's big in their NIL pretty much.
Yeah. But you know, they were talking about something he does for the student athletes and doesn't matter what sport you're in. He takes care.
That is a good point. He is part owner of House of Glory Wrestling. So maybe they're building something there.
You realize that Master P played for the Fort Wayne Fury in the CBA.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And back in my high school days, he was my favorite rapper with the No Limit Records chain that everybody wore. and had
he all was in different... WCW.
Yeah, he was. Yes. I was a big Master P fan back in the day.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like you said, he played for the Fort Wayne Fury. Yeah,
back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, the CBA. He played for them. But I thought he kind of rode off into the sunset. I didn't really know what old Master P's doing nowadays.
I don't even know what his son's up to anymore.
But yeah, wasn't it? His son was a hell of a ball player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he committed to USC, but then I don't think he ever, I don't think it never came to fruition for some reason. So yeah, I don't know what Romeo's up to.
But anyways, I could have done away with the segment. It didn't do anything for me. Probably was the worst start of Dynamite, but I like what happened after he opened his mouth.
Yeah, besides we got a lot of...
Besides his punches to Moxley's gut.
Which I laughed at that because I felt like Joe was turning Moxley so he wouldn't get hit. And Moxley's like, no, let him get a few punches in. Turn me back. Like, that's how I took it, kind of. Like, I don't know if that was – I don't think Master P was supposed to throw punches. So Joe's like, I'm going to protect Mox because this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And Mox's like, nah, let him punch me because Mox is just crazy like that. That's how I took it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we had the Death Riders, of course, out there, the Ops. And we haven't even been able to talk about the Ops being the new Trios champions, which is, I think, good, getting those belts off the Death Riders. I think that helps out a lot. Then the Elite run down, the Bucks try to help in Okada, and then Swerve comes out, Kenny comes out. So there's where I'm talking about the seeds for Anarchy in the Arena. I think of those guys, there's your mix for Anarchy in the Arena, because Swerve and Mox is happening in Chicago at Beach Break a couple weeks before Double or Nothing. So
you're going to have that at Double or Nothing, Anarchy in the Arena is what you're thinking.
Yeah, because they've done it every year. So since 2020, that's a staple. And, you know, the only thing I was complaining to Paul about this Friday night when we were in the car. The only thing I complained about Anarchy in the Arena and Blood and Guts is they don't mix up the personnel as much as I like. Seems like a lot of the same characters are in it every year.
Yeah.
Because I think the main event at Double or Nothing is going to be, assuming Hangman beats Fletcher, it's going to be Ospreay gets Hangman for the Owen and to be number one contender going into All In. I think that's your Double or Nothing main event.
I can get along with that. Yeah.
Or if not, I guess Anarchy is, but what I'm saying is world title is not defended at Double or Nothing.
So you're saying when that comes back, then you can have, the Elite bringing a guy back like Jack Perry probably coming back for them.
Yeah. Or I was actually, that's a good spot. I was thinking just Okada, the Bucks, and then Moxley and Claudio, I guess. Cause Pac's injured, screw Wheeler. Screw him. And then your five on the other side, Swerve, Kenny, and three Ops. Whether that's, you know, Shibata, Joe, and Hobbs, or Shibata, Joe, Hook. I don't know. But, yeah, I think there's your 5-on-5. And then in June, you probably – because there's no pay-per-view in June, so I'm guessing that's when Blood and Guts got to take place sometime, and they probably have a mix of those guys and Blood and Guts again. I wish they would do a Ladies Blood and Guts one of these years, but I don't think this is the year to do it.
Give it a year, and you can have a team Tony and a – you know, team Mariah May, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Pedro, I think there's no pay-per-view listed for June. And Blood and Guts is usually June or July. It's usually a summer event, so I think that's where it hasn't been announced, but I think that's where it'll slide in.
Didn't they do Blood and Guts as a Dynamite one time?
It always is a Dynamite.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, pay-per-view. It's a Dynamite. No,
but it's not on the schedule yet for any Dynamite. Like,
okay.
I feel like there's a Dynamite already listed, and then they'll just tag Blood and Guts onto it, probably. Like they have, they got Beach Break, they got Fyter Fest scheduled. It's a Dynamite. They got Grand Slam in Mexico, which is sold out already, I believe. I believe it's sold out in 12 hours.
Nice.
So they got a lot of big shows coming up this summer. So, yeah. Yep. Sorry, my internet's playing some tricks on me tonight. Modern said, give the women a blood and guts down the line, too. Yeah, no, I agree. I think they should have done it like 2 years ago, but. Yep. The surprise of Dynamite for me, as far as match results, was Mark Briscoe going over Ricochet.
You know what? I thought that definitely. I didn't listen to Busted Open today to listen to Justin Laborde and whatever. Who's his partner?
It's usually I can never remember the guy's name.
I only think of Justin Laborde. Anyways, they do match of the week, and like when I was watching this, I'm like, holy shit, this is definitely contender for match of the week, and they do it over all promotions. But I think actually watching some WWE this week, this was the match of the week. Both of those guys, I thought, brought it. And I'm not a fan of this current Ricochet guy. I can't stand that high-pitched hyena squeal he's got going on. But overall, he's a hell of a performer. We know that. And Mark Briscoe brought it. He brought it. And it was a entertaining, fast-paced match. Love that Mark Briscoe went over.
Yep. And Steven, last night on Collision, we saw Swerve the Bucks and Kenny all kind of have a little brawl there. So 8-man tag on Dynamite this upcoming week. You got Kenny, Speedball Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, and Mark Briscoe versus the Bucks, Okada and Ricochet. That's gonna be a fun 8-man tag.
That should be your main event.
Yep.
Or kick the show off.
Well, that'll probably kick the show off because your main event's probably Hangman Fletcher in the Owen.
Yeah.
Probably. Which you were just talking about Mark Briscoe. He and Fletcher put on an absolute banger at Dynasty. I don't think we talked about that enough.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, he's getting used, you know, on a weekly basis. And I think it really shows how, you know, once that guy gets some reps, he's a hell of a performer. You know, I know he held some ROH gold there for a while. But I could see that guy, you know, he's very entertaining on the mic. I can see him holding a mid-card title, no problem at all.
Yeah. I know Pedro keeps saying in the comments here, book more women's matches, like especially on Dynamite. Yeah, they usually get more women's matches on Collision than they do Dynamite, but you're noticing on both programs, women's matches are main eventing quite often these days, which is light years ahead of what Tony was doing a year ago with the division. So they've got the right pieces. So it's just putting it together. Yeah. The Bucks made their Dynamite return as far as a match, taking on Kevin Knight and Mike Bailey. Of course, I love this match. This is my style. So I had a good time with it.
Flippity flops.
I had a good time with it. Of course, you knew the Bucks weren't going to lose. So they won. But it's a fun match. And I love the push they're giving Kevin Knight, man. Now, it's going to suck when somebody turns on him eventually. Or he turns on somebody eventually. But no, I think they're positioning him really good right now.
Who would turn on him? Speedball's not going to make a good heel.
No. Yeah, not Speedball. So, and I think Kevin Knight and Ricochet's maybe a match we might get at Double or Nothing, potentially.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody, I think he'll form a tag team with somebody and then they'll turn on him. I don't know who that is. Speedball's not the right guy. So, yeah. Really want your thoughts on this. Your boys FTR heel are heels again.
Oh God! Don't bring up who I think you're going to bring up.
Now they got a mouthpiece that we hadn't seen on television for about 5 or 6
he
months.
He called himself Big. He called Stokely himself Big Stoke. Halfway. No, he called Big himself Stoke. Big Stoke.
Big Stoke.
Oh God!
And they attacked Rock and Roll Express, which you knew every time Rock and Roll shows up, they get beat down. So you knew that was going to happen.
My thoughts on it is I understand the mouthpiece being the heel turn. The problem is They don't need a mouthpiece. Both of those guys can talk. And Cash is very
underrated. Not according to Majin, they can't. According to Majin, that's their weakness, talking.
He's never watched FTR even back in the NXT days. An idiot if he doesn't think FTR can talk.
And if
he thinks Stokely Hathaway is a good talking piece for FTR, then he needs to get his head out of Paul's ass. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know what? There's a better chance of me going on a fucking diet than FTR needing a mouthpiece.
See, you're not a fan of the Stokely pairing, is what I'm taking.
No. Of all fucking people. Holy shit, I got a big spider over there. Anyway.
Did you like the segment, though? Everybody in the comments seems to be liking the segment overall.
The segment was okay. It got them awful cheap heat, right? That was their goal, cheap heat. So
they're the legend killers now.
Yeah, where did they steal that from? RKO.
My boy Randy. Randy and Cena Friday night. Yep, Randy and Cena Friday night. I'm not going down a rabbit hole, but Randy and Cena Friday night, that was some good stuff. I'm a big Randy Orton fan, though. Always have been. So, Pedro V says, I think the rumor was Stokely was going to manage Private Party. Yeah, I know they had something in the works for him last year, and then it didn't come to fruition. So definitely didn't see him being the mouthpiece for FTR, but I got to say, I don't really hate it. Stephen Chambers, what's next? Tully and Arn? I don't see that. Not with the way Tully's relationship ended with the company.
No. But I think
FTR, and I like FTR's heels a lot more than I do faces. I think they're better at heels. I think they're better.
I don't know, man. You know, when Dax was a face and Dax was putting on those single matches when Cash was in his little legal trouble, we talked about it 2 years ago. I mean, he was top five wrestler of the year that year with his performances.
Yeah. You're right.
And he was a face then. Again, I do think they're more of a natural heel. They played a hell of a heel in WWE. And so,
yeah. I think just because it's fresh. I mean, we saw them as heels right when they debuted in AEW, but then they've been baby faces for the last couple of years. So it's something different.
Well, when they're feuding with the Bucks, I mean, obviously your Bucks are your typical heels. So when you're gonna feud them, you're gonna need a face to go against them, and it was just naturally FTR. Yep.
And I think the direction we're going after last night's tag match on Collision with the Paragon with O'Reilly and Strong.
What a dumb name, Garcia, by the way.
Yeah, I don't like it. At least Roddy Strong got his theme back. His theme's really good. At least he got that back. But we saw Garcia come out, shake hands with Cole. I'm thinking maybe that's your double or nothing match. Then all in, it's going to be – I still think it's Cope and Christian. I don't know how we get there, but I think it's Cope and Christian versus FTR all in.
Well, you notice of late the tension with Christian and the family.
Yes.
Nick Wayne's starting to stand up to Christian. So eventually I feel like, yeah, that's going to split. I think you're going to have Christian, Nick Wayne on an ROH for that ROH television title. Nick Wayne go over, and then all of a sudden, Christian is gone from the patriarchy or whatever the hell they call it.
Yep, patriarchy, yep.
And then you just have Mama Wayne and Nick.
Yeah.
And then it lets Christian go out and do something else. So I can see that, yes. And by the time, you know – I almost called him Edge. By the time Cope comes back, Christian could be looking for something new. So,
yeah, I don't see him coming back until June. So,
well, and I think I'm pretty sure those guys know they're both on their way out. You know, they're on the downhill, and I think both of them will probably say, "Hey, look, let's have one little run left together." Yep. So,
Pedro V says, "But anyway, FTR versus Hurt Syndicate injected my veins. I like that matchup. That'd be fun. That'd be something different."
It would be, but you would have to have Hurt Syndicate start acting like faces. And to me,
I think they are faces.
Okay.
The crowd loves them.
The crowd loves them, but they don't act it, though. They still try to get some cheap heat over people.
But they're kind of acting like it right now with MJF. I mean, we see, which I was going to bring up, we see MJF try to give Bob, not Bobby, Bob.
Bob, Corvette. I love that.
Bobby still gives him a thumb down. Yeah, I do too. Shelton's giving him a thumbs down, even though he gave him his watch and the girls. So where
and he took the Corvette.
Yeah, that's what I said. And he took the Corvette and gave him a thumbs down, which was a nice. I like that color of Corvette. But where's this going, Shep? Do we see MJF eventually join but not be in the group for very long, or does he eventually get pissed and bring his own two in to even the odds?
I say they. I think they work together. I think you're going to see them finally team up in a couple matches. And then at the end, obviously something doesn't go smoothly and MJF has enough and says, screw it. And then the following week, they said, hey, you know, it's three against one. Who you got? And then he brings brings some friends out. So.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Steven. I still think the dynasty is coming in with them. That's just my prediction. Yeah. Yeah. You know what faction's getting big is the Don Callis family.
God, what awful.
They keep adding more and more members.
Can't stand that entrance music.
It is. But it's did
you see the guy 2 weeks ago that was sitting front row ringside? Dressed as Don Callis, and he had.
It's been like 4 weeks in a row.
Has he been there 4 weeks in a row?
I don't know if it's the same guy, but there was 3 weeks in a row. There was a Don.
I mean, he literally had the red right there. He really had the. Oh my God, it was great. And even Don gave him a little, like, gave him the kudos. Like, all right, that's pretty good. He broke character a little bit.
Well, and Majin saying Hurt Syndicate will have to add a piece then because MVP doesn't want to wrestle. Well, they could bring in Cedric Alexander, or I want to turn to kid, but Kevin Knight could be fit in there.
So everybody says MVP doesn't want to wrestle. The guy's wrestling every weekend on the indies.
Yeah. Yeah. He was in a bad mood Friday. That's all I know.
Maybe it's because on the indies he can, dictate what he wants to do and how the match goes.
Yeah.
And he can work at his own pace. And he's obviously working other legends usually or a local talent from what I can see. So he can probably dictate it, but.
Yeah. If Keith Lee could get healthy, Steven, that'd be cool. I just don't know. I just don't know about the guy. I mean, hope he can get healthy. But the Callis family, I mean, now we got the walking weapon. Josh Alexander, who's made his AEW debut since we last had a pod. You got Takeshita, of course. You got Mark Davis, who's injured. You got Brian Cage, who's injured. You got Archer. You got, did I say Fletcher already? If not, Kyle Fletcher. Now you got Trent and Rocky Romero. So the group just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I do think it's good for certain guys, but other guys are getting lost in the mix being in the group. So.
I like Alexander. I like Takeshita, obviously. I don't know about Trent and Rocky. I think that's an odd pairing with Don.
Well, Trent was with them before he got hurt. Rocky's the new addition that I don't know. Rocky doesn't do much for me. Great mind backstage, but doesn't do much for me.
You know how I feel about Brian Cage. So
he's going to be out a while. He tore his quad. So he's going to be out for a long time.
Wow. He can't even count to four, so it's good. I like Archer. I mean, I remember watching Archer and watching him in AEW and then tuning in and watching him show up at a New Japan show and like, holy shit, this crowd just eats him up. And, you know, they loved him in New Japan. So I think Archer has some potential for sure.
But he's the one that I think is going to get lost in the mix, especially with his tag partner out. But we saw Alexander and Takeshita pick up the win over Ospreay and Brody King, with, of course, Brody taking the pin. But, yeah. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying Don Callis family, they're becoming dangerous with their numbers.
Right. So, I mean, they're still a heel faction, and your other big faction is a heel. And your other faction is a heel. So you got three heel factions, the Elite, the Death Riders, and now Don Callis family. Mm-hmm. You don't have a faction that is a face right now. So there's some room for that. So it could be interesting, but we need to see something along those lines to go against these guys.
Yep. And then the main event of Dynamite was with Women's Owen Hart Cup Tournament. Saw Jamie Hayter go over Chris Statlander. So there's your Owen Cup final matchup at Double or Nothing. Mercedes Moné against Jamie Hayter. And I don't know if another match ran short or what, but the timing was off at the end of the show because those two ladies stared each other down for what felt like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I kind of wanted Statlander to go over here, just me personally. But
I honestly, going into the match, this is one of the matches I didn't have a good finger on the pulse of who I thought was going to win. So I could make a case for both ladies. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think either one of them deserve it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that taking away from Jamie Hayter. But I don't know. I really like Chris Statlander. I don't know. The way she performs in the ring and how athletic she is and the way she moves. Just shit ton of potential. And just kind of wanted to see her get a little bit more of a push. But
yeah. Paul got a chat with her for a little while on Friday.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Did she tell Paul how big of a pussy he is?
I wasn't there. So
I hope she did.
I was in line somewhere. So I just take Paul's word for what they talked about. Cause I asked Paul, who is he? Oh, he talked to Anna Jay. I was like, did you ask like when Jack Perry's going to be back on TV? He's like, no. Well, come on.
Yeah. That's all right. You know what? We're not mad at Paul. We're disappointed.
No, we're just disappointed. Yeah. We expect a better.
I'm good at WWE picks, guys.
Maj, I wanted Jamie, but it's about time they nut up or shut up with Statlander. She's too good to be stuck going nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Stevens, wait a minute.
Did Maj and I disagree on something?
You did. Hell's freezing over. Yep. Oh, yeah, Steven. Yeah. Mercedes winning this. Yeah, they're no.
I got to go take a shot of maple syrup.
You need to go take a shower. You need to go clean off.
Oh, fuck.
Collision, we saw Swerve make quick work of your boy, Blake Christian. And then the EVPs, the Bucks got involved, but then Kenny came down to fight off the Bucks. So, once again, there's seeds right there. I'm thinking anarchy in the arena for sure. Timeless Tony Storm went over Queen Amanada and Paul's favorite match, the Eliminator match. Hate those matches. Max Caster's open challenge got answered by Hologram, who approved a 23-0. So Max just can't win these open challenges.
It's great.
They're entertaining because he just loses them every week.
Great, great little gimmick he's got going right now.
CRU beat Top Flight in a fun flippity flop match. So that's Leo Rush and Action Andretti. CRU.
Quicker than a hiccup.
Anna Jay made quick work over Taylor Gainey. Bandito and Drillis to go for the ROH World Championship. Hey, Shep, remember when we weren't going to get ROH title matches on AEW television?
Yeah, they were doing that away. They're doing away with that.
Bandito won, of course. He wasn't going to lose that title yet. AR Fox versus Roosh. This was just kind of like, let's just throw matches together type of show.
Tony Khan does that a lot.
He does. And then we already talked about the main event, FTR with Big Stoke getting over the Paragon, and then Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia standing tall at the end of the show. So, yep. I want to get back to a question Majin asked me earlier, and I didn't hit on it. It's one thing I want to talk about before we wrap things up. Mariah May, rumors are contract's coming up to an end with AEW in the next coming months. WWE really, really, really interested in her. Supposedly she's interested in them. I mean, I'd love AEW to keep her, but I don't know. I there's a lot of smoke there. A lot of times where there's smoke, there's fire. So it wouldn't shock me at all to see her go to the WWE.
No.
Is it the right move? I don't know.
WWE's winning that, division that right now.
But that whole roster over there is getting congested all of a sudden. You know, they're adding all these former. It is,
but they're getting a shit ton of TV time. There's multiple storylines going on, and it's just good right now. It is good. So I would say best women's division in professional wrestling right now. It used to be TNA. I thought TNA 6 months ago had the
AEW is the best women's wrestling?
No, I said TNA.
But who are you saying is good right now? Were you saying WWE with the multiple storylines, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah. I think the strongest women division in all professional wrestling right now is Connecticut.
I think AEW's got more depth. You can't get Chelsea Green on the Mania card. You can't have your intercontinental champion defend her title in the Mania card. You have to put her in a tag match. And you take out one of your best females in Bayley? The treatment of Bayley over there is terrible.
I'd like to see Bayley come over to
I want to see her jump ship.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, and I remember Bully Ray talking about that on Busted Open, like, hey, look, it happens. Your card gets pulled. It happens. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can go. Go ahead.
Point, Mita Shirakawa is coming over to be part of AEW, like, full-time. And if she comes to AEW and Mariah May's not there, I don't know if I'll hit the same. Yeah, because that's a big part of her character. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
Well, hey, Becky Lynch coming back as well. Again, it's Steven,
I would take that trade. Mariah May for Bayley.
Oh, 100%. Sure. 100%.
Sure.
If with the freedom Bayley would be given in AEW, it could be
and her really, and Mercedes, they're best friends.
It could be really entertaining.
Legit. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see the type of push Rusev and Aleister Black get. Or if they get lost in the shuffle. I'm telling
did you think that
roster's getting so big.
Yeah, did you think the Raw after Mania was kind of lackluster? It was a little bit of a letdown, but the only thing I thought the highlight was the McAfee Gunther Cole thing was a really good thing.
I enjoyed Bron Breakker. I'm a big Bron Breakker fan though.
You like Breakker joining
with
Heyman?
Rollins, yeah. And I hope Heyman. They add one more person.
Who are they gonna add?
Well, I'm looking at it as like I was a big Evolution fan back in the day. So I'm looking at it as like Rollins is your Triple H, Breakker's your Batista. Now they need a young gun. I don't know who that's going to be. I really don't.
There's one young gun that I think they've just buried. That's Austin
Theory.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Vince loved him. He was Vince's guy. But that's when Triple H took over, Triple H has buried him. So, but it'll be interesting because like their debuts, they look strong in Rusev and Aleister, but. Like that roster is all of a sudden it's gonna have a problem that AEW has. It's just too big, and you got to trim the fat eventually. And I think we're gonna see over the next few years a lot of roster hopping back and forth.
Well,
we haven't seen too many from WWE coming over to AEW in a while, but it's gonna happen again.
But also in WWE, you need to have two shows. This is your Raw roster. This is your SmackDown roster. I know you can go back and forth. But they need to stick with that for a while.
Well, they got that dumbass draft coming up, which is the dumbest thing ever because they never stick to it. If they stuck to it, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
They're bringing the draft back again?
Yeah, they did last year.
I know.
And they're doing it again, like in a month, I think. Yeah.
It's stupid. Entertaining television.
It is, but until the...
I know it doesn't stick, but it's entertaining.
SmackDown person in 2 weeks on Raw. He's a SmackDown talent. What is he doing here? Well...
I do love the two general managers right now in Adam Pearce and Aldis.
Yes.
I think they do a good job.
I still wish AEW would have an on-screen general manager, but that's just me.
Who would it be?
I don't know. I mean, some people might say Bryan Danielson because he did it at WWE, but no, I don't think so. Which Danielson's telling everybody he's pretty much done. I think he's feminine. I think he's got a couple more matches left in him in AEW.
Oh, I think he has one or two matches a year for the next 3 or 4 years.
I think he pops up at All In this year. I'm not saying he's got to wrestle, but I think he gets involved somewhere.
I think he shows up at Forbidden Door overseas.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Which, yeah, and I think it's smart of AEW booking some overseas stuff right now. Whether it's Mexico isn't overseas, but Mexico, and then you got the Glasgow show and Forbidden Door in London. Yeah, I mean, those tickets are all selling pretty fast. So
Steven's got a hell of a call. Get Gail Kim involved.
Oh, 100%. 100%. 100%. CD would be a good, on-air general manager. Okay.
CD would be one. I tell you, another guy that I think would be one, just because I enjoy his backstage vignettes on social media, it's RJ City.
RJ City's good.
I know he's not well known, outside.
He's good though, man.
But he's very entertaining, mm-hmm. and does some really good interviews. So I think he could be a really good on-screen GM.
Yep. 818_Sega. Long live AEW. It's good for the business. The longer they're living, it's good for the business as a whole.
Sega. What a great game console that was.
Jerry Lynn could fill that role. Yeah, Jerry Lynn would be good. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as he didn't scream into the microphone like a heavy metal band, it's okay.
Anything else, Shep? You wanna cover before? I know it's a little quicker show than usual, but
a little quicker show than usual. Have we talked about how big of a puss Paul is?
I think you need to remind everybody one more time.
Guy walked over and tripped over a rabbit this morning and tore his uterus, and he can't even join the podcast. Of course, he had to ship his belt out to the East Coast of all places.
One job. And we let a guy from Boston take our championship.
Yeah. And then on top of it, I think Pluggo is going to be more of an arrogant champion, and he doesn't even hold the damn belt.
100%. Well, Shep, we're going to have to work together and get this thing back at Double or Nothing.
Yeah. Tornado tag. We're going for blood.
Because if not, they have it for another 2 months to All In. So they're going to have it the whole summer if we don't get it back.
That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Paul's been trying to call himself Mountain Dew Paul. I like Steven's name here, Jabroni Paul. That's Paul's new name. Yeah. Jabroni Paul.
Paul, you're fired.
Pedro, he is. Paul tear both his squats. That's good.
He did. He tried to get in his chair to talk on the podcast, and he tore both his quads. Had to call it finished from the floor.
Yeah, what good ever comes out of Boston? You're right. You're right.
East Coast. I don't know what's worse, the East Coast or Canada.
Oh, Jesus Christ. On that note, for joining us tonight, Majin,
just joking. I love Canada. Y'all great.
He doesn't like the East Coast, though. He's not joking about that. He doesn't like the East Coast.
Them East Coasters, the way they talk, their accent.
Hey, we're not talking about Philly or Steffi or Pennsylvania.
No. Philly's cool.
New York and Boston.
The Yorkers, the Boston,
uh-oh.
The Boston Lagers. Pedro
says them's fighting words.
Okay. Go out there and have you a Boston Lager.
Hey, I do like Sam Adams' Boston Lager. So
their cherry wheat. Their cherry wheat's amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
I might bring that back. I haven't had one of those in a while. Next Sunday, we're going to have some Boston cherry wheat for sure.
All right.
I'm going to get a six pack. That shit's like 6% by volume. It'll get you.
I might have to go grab one of those, one of Steve's 316 IPAs that's like 8.7%.
Oh, by the way, I'm out of garage beer. I might need a garage beer drop next week.
Remind me. I can make it a drop.
That shit went quick.
Yeah, it's good. Which one did you like, the lime better
or the regular? Yeah, and I'm not a flavored beer guy. I'm not a big beer guy, period. But the lime's a problem. Like, this summer, floating out in the lake when it's 100 degrees out, those limes, garage beers will go down like water. You're going to drink 10 of them, and I'm like, holy shit, I need more.
So. I think we're going to close with this comment from Majin. Majin says, gets in my KOP wrestling gear, lathers up with maple syrup. Let's go ship. You come for Canada, you got to learn today.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you know, some people.
Thanks for that visual.
Yeah. Maple syrup's got multiple uses, man.
Yeah, tease their own, man.
Just ask Kenny Powers.
Tease their own. 818 underscore Sega. Get some Guinness. Light but tasty.
Oh, I love. You know what I love? There's nothing better than an Irish car bomb. Oh, I love Irish car bombs. Oh, so good.
But so good. This has been a fun episode. Been a fun episode, even though Paul let us down. Paul disappointed us.
Who?
But,
who?
Yeah. Who? Yeah. Who?
I don't know, no Paul.
But thanks for joining us, everybody. Make sure you're following the Kicking Out Podcast wherever you get your podcasts at. If that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please give us that 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate it. And it's a free, easy way you can do something to support our podcast. If you do want to spend a little money, look great doing so. You can get some KOP merch at kickingoutshop.com. And we also have a store on Pro Wrestling Tees. You can follow Kicking Out Podcast on all social media platforms at Kicking Out Pod. And you can follow us three. I'm at TerryLee92, Shep's at TheShep27. And that guy, we're not mentioning his name, at PaulZartman87. For Austin Shepherd, I'm Tanner Lee. Join us next Sunday as we kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.